Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And I did that on purpose because Scott was just ready to say something.
There's another piece there.
And just a reminder to the community is that this weekend is the Children's Fair at Buckland Park. It's a lot of fun.
There's another and.
And?
5 o'clock today at the courthouse.
At the courthouse. What is it? It's a walk in her shoes.
Walk a mile in your shoes.
Sexual assault, correct?
Yeah.
So it's going to be, they're going to walk from the court on Main Street to right here in front of the little park,
You? I'm walking.
Yeah, he's walking. Scott is walking. Good for you, Scott.
I'm not doing the high heels because I don't, abuse in any form is still abuse, right? So I'm not doing high heels. Sorry.
It's not abuse.
Would be to my back.
Yeah, it would be for your back.
They got crippled up. Anyway, hey, it's a special show today because this is for those of you who just came back from Coachella. I am a hologram today. We've taken the technology and we are trying it out on radio. So this is the virtual me, and I bet you guys can hardly tell the difference, right? So let us know if this works, and we may try to do some more. We'll maybe next week do virtual Maria.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No idea what you're talking about. I was not one of the lucky ones.
You didn't see that?
No, I was not one of the lucky ones that went to Coachella.
They did Tupac on hologram, and it was startlingly real. So,
That's why you have to give a little bit more information for us that did not go.
The YouTube video of Tupac got 2.5 million hits in the first 3 days after it was put on YouTube. So, and it's impressive. It really is. So. We thought we'd bring it to radio. We thought we'd really step out of the box and innovate. So
that was more like a, if anything, they do that, it'll be like Corbin or something like that. I'm that from that part. I'm that type of
count on it.
Of music.
Count on it. Wherever they can squeeze a buck out of this thing, it's gonna.
Never
happen.
Really heard Tupac. I was not a Tupac person.
John Lennon.
Corbin.
Bring back the Beatles are gonna reunite.
Bring back Nirvana.
All right, where were we? I
remember. Sublime.
Doing a radio show, that's right. Norma Avila. Good morning, Norma.
Good morning.
You're our guest today. You're from Behavioral Health, and you work for the Senior Access to Supports and Services Program.
Correct.
That's an MHSA program.
You can tell because it's got lots of words and turns into an acronym.
The SAS program. It's actually working with elder adults over the age of 60 who have a mental illness and are homeless, at risk of becoming homeless, isolate, and homebound.
Okay. And you throw parties for them.
Yes. Lots of parties. We have lots of fun.
First of all, why did we have a need to do the SAS program? Because the MHSA came about in 2004, and it's basically we provide mental health services, just like the regular mental health services that we have at Behavioral Health, but then they go a little bit further. They do whatever it takes. In other words, they do a lot of supportive services.
And the SAS program, we also do a lot of support services, too. The only difference is that we work with elderly people who are over the age of 60.
So there was a need to provide services.
There is a high need. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because over 60 people have, what's going on in their life that made that a need, and why wasn't it being met? Any ideas?
A lot of the elderly that I've been working with, they tend to isolate. They don't go see their doctor. A lot of them have transportation problems. They don't know that they need treatment, or they refuse to get treatment. They don't have financial support or moral support from a family member.
So, I mean, it's just
that's
like...
That's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, yeah. And
awesome picture there.
A lot of elderly people, you know, they get into this depression, you know. Mm-hmm. They're getting older.
Life is winding down.
Well, and in our society, it's very... Sometimes they view aging as not very good, you know. Mm-hmm. What is our media saying
acceptance.
On TV? it's
a natural
anti-aging
time of loss.
I know, but you know, most of the commercials, they have all these products for women and also for men.
Sure,
anti-aging, anti-aging, which is mm-hmm. telling you mm-hmm. that do not age.
Yes.
So, you know, just a lot of people, as they age, they might get depressed.
We're trying to pick up Androgel as a sponsor, and I'm going to come in and talk like this. Because that's the new thing now. Everybody
yeah.
wants to be young forever.
Yes.
And also acceptance. A lot of the elders, they start getting into a depression because they can't do the same things they used to do before. For instance, like driving, and they still want to drive.
Loss can lead to depression. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear that that's perceived loss, right?
Yes,
because
yes.
But with elderly people, it's like it's pretty easy to perceive a loss when your friends are passing on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Your family members are passing on.
Your loved ones
are moving away.
Your spouse for 50 years, you had a companion,
gone.
No longer there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your kids have grown. They have their own families. And you're
and they never,
you're, and
they
you're
they
left
never
by
call.
Yourself.
And they never
you're
call.
Left by yourself. So, I mean, that is sad. I mean, it could happen to us as
the
we get older.
The world of technology moves on, and you've got smart whatchamacallits, and everybody's looking at their hands, and you're sitting there going, what are these people doing?
Eventually, our brain's just going to be automatically connected to our phones.
Yes.
Yes. And then maybe I'll have one, a phone and a brain, right? No, you know, so for elderly people, it's a natural developmental period of loss. I mean, so particularly when you're focusing on it that way.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them don't have family support, and they're left on their own to take care of their health or if they have a mental illness.
Well, yeah, yeah. I was explaining this to my mom like last month when I called her for her monthly phone call.
Monthly phone call.
I was letting her know that, you know, homie's busy. Homie is struggling out in this brave new world to support his family and keep him busy. And I haven't got time to engage in full-time mother support, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Once a month, Scott? Really? You only talk to your mom once a month?
Well, that was actually a special because it was the month before Mother's Day, so I called, like, twice.
And how many times do you visit her?
She lives in Michigan.
Oh.
Never. And then the last time she was here, it was the earthquake, and she hasn't come back. No, you know, the reality is that people have to hustle in today's new brave economic future. You know, everybody's working. We're working as much as we can. Mm-hmm. You know, the houses are all submerged. And so everybody's kind of hustling to try and make sure that they've got the economic security that they need. And that leaves less time to have relationships with elders, mm-hmm. particularly elders who haven't crossed over into, like, social media, for example, right?
Yes.
So you've got a population of people who naturally, I think, tend to get cut off.
Yes, and so that's what we're here for, to help them and help them get treatment.
So some of the people who get cut off, their lives diminish, and they take it badly. They feel bad about it, right? I mean, it affects them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're starting to feel bad about feeling bad. And at that point, you're pretty much got depression.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they start isolating.
Making them harder to find.
Yes.
You know, and so now you've got suffering people who are hiding,
mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't have our elders be treated that way.
No, we shouldn't.
So how do we root these people out? How do we find them?
Yeah.
We get referrals from different agencies and from the community. And once I get the referrals, then I go over to their home and do an assessment to see if they meet the criteria for the SAS program.
So you go to them instead of them coming to the clinic.
That's the good thing about this program, that we're very mobile. Not only myself, but our doctor, our nurse, our counselor, clinician, they could also go to their homes. So that's a good thing. Because a lot of the elderly also, they have problems with transportation. And sometimes they don't go see a doctor.
When gas is $4.50 a gallon, everybody's got problems with transportation.
Yeah, especially right now.
But you're right. They lose they relinquish their licenses mm-hmm. sometimes. Sometimes cars are expensive to maintain. You're on a limited income. You know, there's lots of, mm-hmm. of things where that could be an impact also.
Yeah.
So you just walk up to the door and it's like, knock, knock, knock. I'm Norma, the friendly mental health person. Hi,
yeah.
How are you?
Can I ask you some questions?
Are they like surprised or what?
No,
like,
sometimes they are.
Who are you? Where
yeah.
you come from?
How did you get my number? How do you know where I live?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are, but the majority of them are told when they're going to be referred. So when I get there, I tell them, you know, you were referred to behavioral health with this program for the SAS program. Working with the SAS program, by so-and-so person referred you from this community or a friend or...
They're concerned. Or
yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to ask you some questions, you know, to see if you qualify for this program. Some of them will say, okay, yeah, answer. I'll answer them some questions. Some of them refuse.
Do you have the, like, the questions memorized? You've done this enough now that you could pretty much just do it off the top of your head? Because we have listeners, right? And some of them are over 60, so they could apply that to themselves. And other people may know somebody over 60. So throw out some questions. Let's
One of the questions
play the game.
You know, do you hear voices, see shadows that no one else could see? Are you having any concentration problems, memory loss, any depression, anxiety, any suicidal thoughts?
So some of these are tough questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you ask if they're also abusing any kind of prescription drugs or alcohol?
Yes, any alcohol or drugs.
Do you find that some of them do?
How many people say yes to that? Come on.
I mean, find out through the course, you know,
I am 63 and over the top.
The answer that I normally get from them is no. That are using... alcohol is I used to in the past. I don't know more.
Like last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
9:30 this morning, and I was pretty much taking a break now.
So, yeah.
Well, because that's a tough one to answer. I mean, just asking right off the top, you know, mm-hmm. Hi, I'm a stranger. Are you having thoughts of suicide? Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Am I seeing things that no one else sees? You know, you're 60 years old. You're isolated. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can take a poll, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, did you see that? There's no Joe. You know, there's nobody to ask if they saw that. So, you know, it may be difficult for them to even process some of these. Are you having memory problems? I don't know. I can't remember. You know, it may be hard for people who are in the position of needing the help, perhaps, to be accurate reporters of whether they need the help or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, there could be some questions like, you know, when you leave your keys, you know, do you know, can you find them right away or does it take you a long time to find them? Because, you know, you forget where you left them.
I got a special place. When I forget the special place, I'm in really serious trouble.
Most people don't have a special place. It just...
How could you live without a special place for your keys?
I don't know.
You constantly, like, trying to figure out where they are. What about sadness? Do you say, you know, do you cry a lot or do you walk around most of the day feeling sad? Or on a 1 to 10 scale, how sad do you feel every day?
Yeah, and I do ask them those questions. And also, like, for instance, for anxiety, do your hands sweat? Do you feel like your heart is palpitating sometimes? Do you feel nervous being around people?
Where do you get the most yeses and nos?
Depression.
Yeah? So it is sadness.
Yes, sadness.
And do you ask, like, hopelessness? And
yes.
Of course, if you're 60, that's almost like an ironic joke, isn't it?
60 is young. What are you talking about?
I hope it's young for me. I hope I get there. Honestly.
I mean, yeah, 60 is young. I mean, I don't see 60.
I will count 60 a success.
Maybe, I don't know. I saw 60 maybe when I was younger, like little, like my teens.
Pasao, yeah.
It's like, yeah, 60, oh my That's gosh. Big way but back. Now that I'm in my 40s, it's like 60? 60 is young. What are you talking about?
Those are my nice neighbors.
You know, it's just have a little bit more longer to go.
It's really different. You know, everybody's kind of got a different place there, huh?
Yes.
Are the depressed people that you've come across, is there anything fairly consistent about their environment? I mean, are they economically suffering?
Some of them are, yes, economically they're suffering. They don't have no income. Surprising, but some of them don't even have Medi-Cal coverage.
Wow. Well, you know what? That doesn't surprise me because a lot of, especially the older generation, they don't like government involvement. In other words, they don't like anybody asking them anything about their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Even if they need it, mm-hmm. even if they do need it and they do qualify, a lot of the older generations, they don't like to get help unless, you know, they're like VA veterans. It's like, okay, yes, I deserve that. I'm entitled to that because I went and I fought a war and I deserve that. Other than that, you know, like handout, they see it as handouts.
Yeah. Are there
the older generation? Yeah.
Are there elder people who never quite got their citizenship thing together?
That too. That could be too. That could also be too.
And that could also be a problem in getting some financial assistance.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because now you're you have an additional hurt. Not only you have the imaginary hurdle of I can't talk to anybody because I get in trouble, which isn't always true, but then you also have that, well, you know, you're not really qualifying for this hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hard. Do you see in the people who meet this criteria, do they commonly have health problems?
Yes. One of the high problems, health problems that they have are diabetic. A lot of diabetics and a lot of high blood pressure.
Which could be depressing in and of itself. I mean, that could be the stressor that sets up the pattern of depression.
And and some of them, they know they have high blood pressure. They know they have they're diabetic, but they're not receiving the treatment because how are they going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
That's stressing.
Yeah,
it
is stressing. And then so that's when I come
stressing
along.
Stressing for anyone, you know, even.
Yeah, you're in an impossible position.
Yeah. So that's when I come along and I explain to them what kind of services we could provide for them if they qualify for the program. You know, helping them get some financial support, helping them apply for medical coverage so they could start seeing their regular physician and receive services.
That was a mighty big if, though. I mean, if you qualify. I mean, it's scary. I mean, for me, I'm close enough to being old now that I can pretty much imagine this. And so how hard is it to qualify?
Well, it's because you need to meet the three criteria. You need to have a mental illness. You need to be over the age of 60. You need to be homeless or at risk of becoming homeless, isolated, and homebound to qualify for the program.
Okay, so if I don't have any money to pay for health care, it sounds like I've got the economic side of this down because I'm at risk of homelessness.
If you're 60,
you don't have any money. You don't
have
any money, you're probably on the edge of homelessness, right?
Yes. Yes, and that's probably going to lead to some depression, anxiety, because you don't have no money.
But what kind of depression? I mean, are we talking like everyday walk around anxiety, depression, or are we talking about psychotic feature depression?
No. Depression, just anything that's impairing your social function.
So regular old Walmart depression, basic run-of-the-mill, I'm depressed to depression.
Yes.
So not like the big stuff, because, you know, there's... I don't know. How am I going to say this? This is like a scaling question. Some people are depressed, and they're so depressed that they're seeing things, and they're so depressed that they can't get out of bed ever, and they're so depressed that they've got this black shadow of doom following them around, and they're just really, I mean, you see them, and you're like, whoa, that's depressed.
And there's people that are depressed, and they're still able to go out, but they're going out because they have to, or a family member's inviting them.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So like the semi-functional
yes.
depressed people.
Yes.
And those people are still going to be okay in this program?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's encouraging to hear.
Yes.
Because I think most of us are forced to be semi-functional.
Mm-hmm.
And just,
mm-hmm.
you know, speaking from the people I know in the community who are semi-functional.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them are, their family member comes along, says, oh, you know what, we're going to the store. Come on, you're going with us. It's not, they're forced to be going wherever the family member's going.
A lot of the people that are right now in the SAS program, do they have any family support or are they mostly by themselves?
It varies. Maybe half of them have family support and the other half don't have family support.
They're by themselves.
They're by themselves, yes. And there's been some that didn't have as much family support and now they do.
Why is that?
Because a lot of family members are not aware of the problems that their parents are going through.
Mm.
Oh, you're depressed. I thought you were just old.
No, it's more...
isolation. They're isolated. They're probably,
you know,
he's
what?
In a bad mood. Or
yeah,
he's
having a bad day or she's having a bad day.
Yeah.
So people just tend to, you know, stay away.
Uh-huh. And this program, we like to involve the family. When they go to the doctor, we like any family members or anybody that's caring for this person to be involved in the treatment.
Nice.
And that's how they become aware of the problems. And I have had a case, actually, that happened.
Now, people could self-refer to this program too, right? So if you're over 60 and listening to the radio station right now, you could, and you're going, whoa, that's kind of like me. You could call in.
Yes,
you could call your program. Do you want to throw out the number? We're going to go to break in a few minutes, but you want to throw out the number right now just for those people who are like, it occurs to them that this may be them?
Or a family member that might have a parent that, you know what,
Yeah.
Our office number is area code 760-351-2821. My direct number is 760-351-2831.
Okay, and if you're listening live, you know, give us a half hour to get back to the phones, right?
And you're located in Brawley at the Brawley Clinic.
At the Brawley Clinic. We're in the top building on Main Street, mm-hmm. where the courthouse is.
The old Bank of America for all you Brawley people. Brawleyites.
So we've got the Senior Access to Supports Services.
Yes.
That came from the Mental Health Service Act, which is the millionaire's tax to support mental health in California, that identified needs, gaps in treatment in the existing mental health system. Mm-hmm. And one of the gaps that was identified was the gap for the kind of quietly mentally ill elderly population.
And it was, you know what, the cool thing about it is that it wasn't the state that said, okay, you do this program. It was actually community members here on Imperial Valley residents said, you know what, I want you to do this program.
So we self-identified our own needs.
Yes.
The community did.
Yeah, they had community forums and people informed us, you know, this is what we need. What about the elderly? You know, they don't have services. That's why I came up.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, with elderly people, is it the case with the people you're working with, is it the case that they were always depressed and kind of functionally depressed their entire lives? Or is this something that just kind of came up as they...
got older?
Yeah.
It varied on...
this is something I have to be scared of.
It varied on some of them. Some of them, it just grew as they got older. Some of them, they had it at a young age, but never as severe as they have it now.
Or they were never identified.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're charging through life. You're really busy because it's such a hassle to get everything done anyway. And you're functionally depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of hopeless. You're kind of helpless, whatever. And all of a sudden, stuff starts winding down. And the only thing that's sitting there waiting for you is your depression. And you're saying, oh, okay, now that's what... and I could see where that would amplify it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, all your friends are going to die and your hobbies are going to die, but your depression's going to live with you forever. How cheerful is that? So you have to work on it. Is that the case?
Yes, and put them on some type of... give them some type of treatment... refer them to start doing other activities, for example, going to Alegria, going to Day Out, start socializing with other people.
Playing bingo.
Yes, that's what they like to do. A lot. They like to play bingo.
They.
Arts and crafts.
Yeah.
They. Those elderlies.
Elderly, sorry.
Well, there's...
our
there's,
elders.
You know what? I mean, there's a lot of activities that you could, that a lot of the schools that would love to have volunteers. You know, especially...
hey, you got a PC with a solitaire machine, you're good, right?
No. No, interaction. That's what they need, also interaction.
Yes,
social interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the isolation, because that's one of the things.
Well, particularly if you're bothered, right? I mean, if you're not bothered, you could play internet solitaire all day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who cares? If you're not affected by that. But if you're affected by it, and what does that look like? If you're affected, what are you kind of looking for? People who don't go out? People who feel bad, people who drink to go to sleep at night, what kind of stuff?
Or take medications?
I mean, when you walk into a house and they start answering questions, what kind of stuff do you see that says, oh, maybe this is one of those people?
Well, I look for, I ask them the questions so I know if they're going to qualify for the program, what kind of services am I going to be able to provide for them? What are they going to need? Are they just going to need help with maybe applying for some type of financial assistance, and that's going to decrease their depression or anxiety.
So it's kind of like a situational depression.
Yes, yes.
And if you resolve the situation, then the person's not depressed anymore.
Well, they'll be receiving treatment, and hopefully their depression is not as severe as it was when they first started in the program.
I mean, because I work over at CalWORKS, and one of the things you hear pretty commonly is, you know, would you be depressed if you had a job? And you're like, no, dude, I'd be great. That would work. You know, and so maybe with some of the elderly people, you know, if you had friends, if you had something to do on Tuesdays, you know, would you be depressed? And the answer is a lot less.
Yes, or if your financial problem was stable, you know, would that decrease your depression? Of course it would.
Do you give them money?
No, we don't give them money.
I was going to apply.
We don't give them money, but we do help them with if they're at risk of becoming homeless. Or they're homeless, we do help them with maybe rent or deposit, depending.
Do you ever find people who are wasting benefits or not taking advantage of benefits, like veterans benefits or something?
A lot of people are not aware of what
they're not aware of what they could qualify for, especially the veterans. Or they're not aware that there is an office here where they could receive some type of help, or they could be referred, or they could be informed where they need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are going up to San Diego, and they don't go because of transportation, because they don't know a lot of the veterans.
Well, that is kind of a long drive.
Yes.
Your car should be good enough to get over the mountains.
So what happens is that they're just not receiving any services because they're not aware of the services they could receive here in the community.
Excellent. Okay, we're here with Norma Avila, and she's a rehab tech who works with Senior Access to Supports and Services. We're going to take a break. It's top of the hour. And we're going to come back, and we're going to break down what we do for the elderly people who meet the qualifications for this program. And
from referral to intake.
All the helping stuff we do. We've talked about who they are. Let's talk about what we do. We'll be right back. So let's talk about it.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valley. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And don't forget to also access our podcast at kxoradio.com. And if you missed the show or you want more information on mental health programs or any other shows that we've had on community agencies,
we'll even do your services, your daily horoscope.
You can go through the podcast and click on it and listen.
Pisces, it's going to rain this morning, like 4 hours ago. Welcome back. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio.
That's what I have to put up with every week, okay?
Always a pleasure to bring you shows. And we have Norma Avila today, and we're talking about Senior Access to Supports and Services. Literally.
SAS.
For behavioral health program for seniors who may have either, life got worse for them, depressing or other mental health problems. Or maybe it was always that way, and it's time to start to deal with it.
And as you're getting older, it's just that your life changes, and there's a lot of things that you can't do driving around. You lost of family members, loved ones. Also, your health might be deteriorating, something that you just can't, help. And that is
even
also
the fashionable dance steps that you know and you can still do aren't cool anymore. It really starts adding up.
But it's just everything. It's just especially your health. If you used to be active and now your body can't do it.
For some people that can, I know some elders who are remarkable. The leg breaks and they go to convalescent home and you go visit them in convalescent home and they're happy. And they're glad to see you, and they're upbeat, and they're cheerful, and they're optimistic, and so those people are cool. They don't need supports, but there are people who do need supports because, as you suggest, you have to cope with anything. Being a teenager, you got to cope with some stuff there. Being an adult, there's plenty of stuff to cope with. Being an older adult, there's some stuff to cope with. And for people who struggle, we have behavioral health. Now, we don't just identify these people; we help them. Is that correct, Norma? Hi, welcome back.
Yes, and then we provide services, type of treatment, and medication if needed, interventions.
You go out in the community and you check these people out, and obviously when you check people out, some of them are going to meet your criteria, be like the right people for your Senior Access to Supports and Services program, and others are not. But the other people who are not part of the program, they're not like kicked to the curb.
Of course not, no. They're referred to an agency where they could receive some type of services, or let's say maybe they didn't meet the SAS criteria, but they met behavioral health medical necessity. I'll schedule them. I personally will call and schedule them for an intake appointment.
And if they don't meet that, they can always go to one of the other programs that also behavioral health, like the PEARLS, it's to treat depression in elderly people, and they don't need to meet the medical necessity.
So whatever needs you see in this spectrum of needs that are you, and you deal with those needs anyway. So if Norma knocks on your door, you're going to get some help regardless of whether
they meet it or they don't meet it.
Yeah. And only the people who really need the Senior Access to Supports and Services level of care, are going to get that care. But if you need it, you get it.
Yes.
And if they meet it, they have Norma.
So Norma, I meet criteria, I walk in the door, I'm yours. What happens?
Okay. I schedule an appointment for you to see our clinician for an intake appointment. Okay. After the intake appointment is completed, there's another appointment that is scheduled for you for the client to meet with the nurse. Once they meet with the nurse...
Wait, intake appointment, what, like 3 minutes on a treadmill? What are we doing here?
The intake appointment is do an evaluation, an assessment, almost a little... with a little bit more questions than the questions I previously asked. They go over their life history, any problems that they might had, any trauma that they might had. And then once they do the intake, then that's when there's another appointment scheduled for the nursing.
Well, because if you're going to help the mental health problem, you got to know exactly what the mental health problem is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then there's an appointment for them to see the nurse. And the nurse goes over their health problems, any lab work that needs to be done. So when they meet with the doctor has all that information.
Co-occurring is, you know, the nom de plume of when you have two disorders, it's a co-occurring disorder, right? and it's funny because when you're a child, co-occurring disorders are developmental delays and mental health problems. And then when you're a teenager and adult, it's like a mental health problem plus a substance abuse disorder problem. When you're elderly, it's like health problems and behavioral health problems.
Yeah.
So it shifts as you go through life.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, when they come in, they're going to get the medical care that helps to manage the behavioral health problem in context with whatever health problems they may have also.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then once they meet them, they see the nurse, there's another appointment scheduled for them to see the doctor.
Psychiatrist doctor.
Do they get like, when they tell me, you know what, you're going to see the psychiatrist, do they get kind of nervous or just, you know, the doctor or psychiatrist?
Some of them do, and that's when I go do the initial assessment, I explain to them the process of what's going to be done. And once I get to the psychiatrist, and they're like, oh, I'm not too sure if I want to receive treatment with you guys. And then I explain to them, you know, the doctor's going to determine if you need medication, if you don't need medication, what kind of medication he should put you on, and it's going to make you feel better. Okay, I'll take it. But, yeah, at first they're kind of hesitant.
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
Yeah, until they get to the...
Until I mention psychiatrists.
You're
going to
send me
like,
one
oh.
of those people, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Now, you know, cultural competence is a big deal in behavioral health. And typically when we say that, we're talking Espanol. We're talking Spanish. Because it's important to meet the cultural needs of the people you're serving, particularly when you're dealing with something as behavioral health. That's mm-hmm. kind of... It's mm-hmm. its own special flavor, if you will. Are you guys culturally competent with elders? I mean, do you all speak elderly or whatever?
Because
it's a culture. The elderly people are their own cultural place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an age-related mm-hmm. culture. Are you all skilled in working with people over the age of 60?
Would you be?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I got natural skills.
I'm thinking about you dealing with my dad. No.
I'd be a really different person with your dad, okay?
No.
I promise you, I would be totally...
I would be scared, okay?
You'd be surprised.
No, it's because it's even, you might say yes, but every person is very different and where their background is.
Yes.
And just, you know, you might just say something wrong and that's it.
Yes.
You are shut off, you know.
In particularly with elderly people.
Yeah.
They don't give you like 5, 6, 7, 8 chances.
No. So you have to be very careful how you say it, you know. It just, even...
Impertinent is typically what old people say when they get tired of me. Stop.
How you talk to them, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So is everybody down with that, though? I mean, that seems like that would be a really important part of the program.
Yes.
I think you've
yes.
had probably a lot of working yes. with, especially with that with the elderly population. Mm-hmm. You probably have gotten a lot of experience having to handle,
Yes, and I have. I mean, I've even had people tell me that look how you look today. No, I don't want to see you. Or you're wearing black. Black's not a good color. Okay, well, next time when I go, I promise you I'll bring a different color.
And you're good enough to remember that?
Yes.
You write it down. Okay, yes. don't
wear black
with so-and-so.
Yeah.
So the majority of people who enter in this program have serious enough mental health problems that medication is indicated. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see in working with them where the medication or the treatment in general offers them relief of their symptoms?
Yes, and having them also attend some other activities.
So getting out and getting active is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What kind of stuff do you get people to do?
Attending Alegría, going to day
out. What is Alegría? I mean, it's joy or happiness,
Alegría,
right?
Alegría is, yes, and it's like a daycare. And they have music, they play games, arts and crafts.
I'm imagining a daycare and I'm tripping over toddlers.
No, but I think it's a daycare, but for older people.
Yes.
So it's an day activities center or something, right?
Keep them busy.
Yeah, they'll keep them busy. And they even have karaoke. They even sing.
Where's it located?
In Calexico.
Yeah. How many people go there? I mean, is it like hundreds of people or?
There's quite a few people that visit the center.
You get food?
Yes, they get a free meal. They get breakfast and lunch.
I think there's another one that's here in El Centro, and we had her on the radio show. Forgot. But I think they were going to
day out program.
Yes, and also they were going to expand the services. Before mm-hmm. it was only for the immobile. Or the people who had a disability.
Yes.
But now they're going to expand the criteria.
Yeah, how do people get to Calexico every day? I mean, you mentioned they sometimes have transportation problems getting to, you know, doctor's offices.
Well, that I don't know a lot about Alegría, but it's for the community that lives in Calexico, and they provide transportation.
Nice. So they do, like, a local pickup route,
yes,
and stuff
uh-huh.
like that.
And the ones that don't live in Calexico and also want to attend some activities, there's also the day out.
Mm-hmm.
In El Centro and Brawley.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That was a mm-hmm. day out.
And those have their own transportation
and they have
ways
their own
means?
Transportation, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. So there are things available to
yes.
seniors.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I guess you're kind of lucky that taxpayers are still paying for stuff like that, huh?
Yes.
Do you help them to get into a housing like the senior apartments and...
If that's one of the needs, because they're at risk of becoming homeless or maybe financial, they mm-hmm. just can't afford the place where they're at. Yes, I help them apply for Section 8
mm-hmm.
So they could get into housing or to some low-income apartments.
And I know that even those apartments that they're just only houses senior citizens,
mm-hmm.
they also have activities. They have
yes,
always like a rec
have.
Room
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
have a lot of activities
mm-hmm.
there.
I also help them apply for, if needed, in-home support services. So they could have a care provider helping them with their daily activities.
Because I remember back right out of college, I started working at a bank.
You mean like 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years. Thank you. I started working at a bank, and one of my I was the one opening accounts and doing loans and all that. And once a week, I would go across the street because we had a senior citizen apartment, and I would go there and talk to the senior citizens about doing direct deposit for their Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them, you know, they used to get the check in the mail and then lack of transportation to go to the bank and deposit it. And, you know, I would tell them, you know what, you can do this or you can directly have it. Some of them had never had a checking account or a savings account, you know, just... And talk to them about because a lot
for for depression era people, the whole trusting the bank thing was a
yeah,
hard one.
Exactly. And a lot of them never used an ATM or never knew how to take out cash from. So I would teach them how to use the ATM, and it was fun. It was fun. And I would go and I would go into the rec centers, and they were eating, or some mm-hmm. of them were doing bingo. A lot of the women were doing knitting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they had a lot of things going on.
I also help them apply for, you mentioned Social Security, because some of them don't have Social Security. They don't have no financial means. So I help them apply for Social Security, SSI.
What if, you know, you got your medicine, you got, like, your whole hookup thing, you got your activities, you got your money things squared away. What if you're still depressed? Are there other things you could do for people? I mean, do you, like talk to them about their depression or give them stuff to do?
Interventions?
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, we provide interventions, coaching them of what they could do,
run faster, jump higher. Oh, that, yeah, not that kind of
coaching,
right?
No, not that.
Go do some exercising. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Exercise is good.
Yeah, it is good. Maybe taking walks, small little walks.
Mm-hmm. Around the
block. Okay, so they're doing all that stuff, and it still isn't helping. I still don't feel very good. What else can we do? So, you know, somebody comes at you, and they're still depressed.
Okay, well, try to find out. Ask them. You know, what is it that's going to help you? How are you going to start feeling better? What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm. There's nothing.
There is something.
Do they have to, can you provide therapy?
Yes. We also have therapy. And if I feel that there is a need for therapy, then we refer them to therapy.
Is that one of those people you think about for therapy? That person who it seems like everything's in place, but they still don't feel very good?
There's something that's causing them to continue to be depressed. So that's when I will do a referral for therapy.
Their belief that life is hopeless and not worth
living. No, well, what if, I mean, they're elderly, and what if they've just found out that they have terminal cancer?
Well, yeah.
You know,
or
they have
life
cancer.
Life will
or
never
something.
Be the same. That's enough.
Or
to
they had a family member, their husband or their wife who just recently passed away. That's a big depression for them, and it's very hard for them to cope with it. And so that's
well, yeah, grieving, you know, something, if you didn't get practice in grieving when you were younger, you're certainly going to get a shot to play with it when you're older. Almost mm-hmm. without fail, mm-hmm. grieving is going to be a part of your life. Mm-hmm. Whether you're grieving the absence of your children who are too busy working to call you, or grieving the loss of your partner, mm-hmm. or the loss of your friends, or whatever, pretty good bet that you're going to get a chance to play that game.
And a lot of them, when they were enrolled in the program, they were already suffering from depression from their young age. And as they got older, depression got worse and worse and worse.
Well, it's like the one thing that doesn't go away. You know, it's going to hang out.
But they something happened to them in their childhood, and that's also causing them to continue feeling better.
So you have people who, I mean, this is like it's just like an advertisement for people who have something that's bothering them today. That they think if I just live old enough, it'll somehow go away. And you're saying that that doesn't happen. You're saying that there are people who get to be over 60 who have to go back and deal with something that happened to them when they were 14.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it does wow. happen. That's when we refer them for therapy.
So if you're 32 right now and you had something that happened to you when you were 14 and you're just hoping to stay busy enough that it'll somehow not bother you the rest of your life, the advice would be to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it could be that, you know, something that happened in their 30s or something, or in the 20s that, you know, they were able to cope because they were busy.
Busy, mm-hmm. yeah.
Working, raising a family.
Keep things cluttered enough.
And now that everything, they're retired, their family has gone, moved away, you know, grown up, their kids, spouse has died. Mm-hmm. Now you have all this time to think
so
about what happened.
You want to clean the mental health before you get to the time when you know, you're 60 and all of a sudden that's the only thing you've got left, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
All right, I'm running off to take care of stuff right now.
But you know what, it's good that you're there because, you know, just there's a lot of senior citizens that do need the help, do need the assistance, and this is specifically program designed for them.
And we're mobile.
And you're mobile.
And we're mobile, so that's the good thing too, that we're mobile, and a lot of them, you know, they're well, we can't go because we don't have transportation. That's not a problem. We'll come to you.
So you take care, the whole team comes out there?
Yes, if needed, yes.
Doctor does home visits.
Doctor does home
just
visits.
Just like the good old days.
Just like the good old days.
The doctor does a home visit.
Now, that sounds like a fairly, I don't know, service capacity. How many people can you have in your program?
20.
20. Mm-hmm. So we know there's 20 old people with over 60 with behavioral health problems not getting treatment in the community right now, right?
Yes, but we do have those that meet our criteria and are homeless, but they refuse our services. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to receive services. I mean, I've had homeless that...
Have you tried again, you know, go back a couple of months and just
and
say,
and
you know...
Talking to them, yeah. A lot of them that are homeless, they don't want to pay rent. Mm-hmm. Why pay rent?
So they
live in a car.
They figured out a rationale to justify their homelessness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now it's a rationale that probably we wouldn't agree with, course, in our, we haven't made that choice yet.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they have the right to make that choice if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're covering up some pain, or they're covering up some denial or something there, or do you think it's a fair choice?
I believe it's maybe their fair choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're not just like saying that because they're too proud to get help.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because I could see that too. Mm-hmm. No. I'd rather live in the car. Really. Yeah, thanks anyway.
No.
There's some people that do want to do that. I mean, they just, that's their choice.
Then. Again, that's kind of an elderly, you know, if they got like a weakness, mm-hmm. that's one of the things is, you know, they can be prideful.
Yeah, prideful. Very prideful. They can be very prideful. Again, phone numbers and location.
Our office number is 760-351-2821. My direct number is 760-351-2831. We're located on Main Street in Brawley, upstairs from the courthouse where the Bank of America used to be at.
Mm.
Nice. And so the call today, they're going to get like free bingo cards.
No.
They just get good service from Norma.
Okay. Well, thanks.
And they start feeling better.
Thanks for coming aboard today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
And community.
Yes.
Tonight, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, tonight.
Courthouse steps. 5 o'clock, right?
But you don't have to wear your high heels.
No, but you really should walk for domestic violence. You know, domestic violence, the research, you know, this is an emerging research field. It's really cool stuff out there. And here's how it happens. What happens is that domestic violence influences your genetic expression. So your genes, the things that determine how tall you are, what kind of health problems you end up with, everything, even like stuff like, you know, how easily you get angry. Genes are really the things that call the shots there. They turn out differently based on how you subject yourself to the world. So what they've discovered is that they've discovered, first of all, if a mom is subjected to craziness and violence and all sorts of stuff, she actually experiences genetic changes to her unborn eggs that...
And this is research?
Yes.
Okay.
That
I thought you were just making it up.
No. Harvard Child of Psychiatry stuff released a study in 2011. This is crazy. That moms who are subjected to craziness have genetic changes in their eggs that cross over, so the baby is born with genetic changes based on the violence of the generation before it. Now, once you're born, they've done pretty good studies that show genetic differences of up to 33%. So one-third of your genetic expression, again, all of your health, all of your longevity, all of your a lot of even your character stuff is expressed by genes. 33% differences from people raised in one environment versus another environment. So domestic violence changes how your genes express themselves. So when you're looking at people who have diabetes or high blood pressure, you have to look at how their earlier lives went and how their parents' earlier lives went, and what you're going to find...
That's when genograms come in.
Exactly. What you're going to find is if they were subject to a lot of craziness, to a lot of stress, including domestic violence, but certainly not limited to that, that the odds are you're going to have significant health problems. The odds are you're going to have behavioral health problems, and the odds are you're going to die younger. Just as simple as that. Really good data coming out, really convincing data.
That's pretty depressing.
Here's what's not depressing. If you stop being mean to each other, you live okay. Your health gets better, you live longer, and you're a lot more fun to be around, frankly. So 5 o'clock today, high heels or no, march for domestic violence, because it's really important to be kind to one another. And we're finding that out more and more and more. Science is supporting, you know, what common sense has probably told us all along. So let's march today, 5 o'clock, is El Centro Courthouse steps.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say you heard it on Let's Talk About It,
you'll get something free from Scott.
Yeah, red high heels. You get to march in red high heels.
And then don't forget about Saturday. Let's change gears. Something more fun.
Yes.
Children's Fair at the Blickin Park.
And
Saturday.
Little sunny, little warm, but it looks like the weather's going to be right there.
No pets allowed. Please don't take your pets.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, yes, I guess some people don't clean after, you know, their pets, though.
So. No, no, no. This is, like, you just,
you don't clean after your pets.
Yeah.
So you have to clean up after your pets. No, but no pets allowed.
Okay.
So there'll be food, music, and activities for kids.
I won't bring my Yorkie,
yeah.
I promise. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you.
Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. Mario's on the board. Maria's to my left. Norma Aviles to my right. Catch the podcast in a couple weeks. I'm Scott. Have a great weekend. And join us next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.